So this week we have a double parsha, Parshas Acharei Mos and Kedoshim. The title of the shiur tonight is The Face of Hashem. So tonight we're going to look at two psukim, and both one pasuk in Acharei Mos, one pasuk in Kedoshim, that have a similar concept about the Pnei Hashem. So we're going to try to understand what it actually means. And you'll see as we go through the psukim that there are a lot of questions that emerge from the psukim, from the pshat of the psukim. But there's similarities in both elements or both parts of both parshios. So the first source is source number one. It's Vayikra Perek Yud Zayin Parshas Acharei Mos. And the Torah is talking about the prohibition of eating dam, of eating blood, drinking blood, I should say. It says, V'ish ish mi beis Yisrael, u'min hager hagar b'socham asher yochal kol dam, v'nasati fanai b'nefesh ha'ocheles es ha'dam, v'ichrati osa mi kerev alma. So the Torah says that any individual from that's Jewish, even a ger who drinks blood, I will place v'nasati fanai b'nefesh ha'ocheles es ha'dam. I'm just learning the pshat. It means that I will place my face on the soul that eats dam, and they'll be excommunicated from the nation. And then the Torah goes on, Yudalf, ki nefesh habasar badam hi, v'anin esativ lachem al mizbech l'chaper al nafshu seichem, ki adam hu banefesh yichaper. So what is so problematic about drinking blood? Well, drinking blood is considered the soul, the life force of the animal, and Hashem gave us animals and blood to bring to the mizbeach for kapara, and the dam is the essence of kapara. So therefore, that's the reason why the Jews shouldn't eat dam, and neither should a ger that becomes Jewish, a convert, also should not eat dam. So the psukim are just talking about the prohibition of dam, of drinking blood. But the first pasuk in this source sheet is really the pasuk that I want to address, which is, in pasuk Yud, it says, so what exactly does it mean where God places his face on the person who eats dam? It's a punishment. So what is the nature of this punishment? What does it mean that Hashem will place his face if we assume that Hashem doesn't have a literal face? So what exactly does it mean? So if we look in Rashi in source number 2, so we're going to use mostly Rashi tonight. But if you look in Rashi, in source number 2, it says in Pasuk Yod, Kol Dam, Lefi Shenem Ar Benefesh Yechaper, Yachol Lo Yechayev El Al Dam HaMukdashim. So since it says that Dam is used for Kapara in the Korbanos process, you might think that you'll only be Chayev if you drink blood from a Korban that's Mukdash, a Korban that's designated for the Mizbeach, Tamalomar Kol Dam. That's why the Torah says Kol Dam. Any Dam fulfills this prohibition, or any drinking of any dam violates this prohibition. V'nasati fanai. So this is key in Rashi. It says, "Penai shali pone ani mikol asakai ve'osek bo." So Rashi says immediately that it doesn't mean his face, but rather it means penai shali, my attention, that Hashem is going to take his attention away from other things. Pone ani mikol asakai ve'osek bo, and I'm going to attend. I'm going to place my attention on this individual who drinks blood. So that's the pshat, according to Rashi. The pshat of Nasati Fanai doesn't mean that Hashem is going to look at this person or place his face. It means that he's going to place his attention. He's going to take his attention away from other areas, and he's going to focus on this individual and punishing this individual. So what does that mean? That's the question that we're going to take up, is what exactly does it mean when Hashem removes his attention from other areas and places it on an individual? Because we know that Hashem is not, he doesn't have attention spans, he's not like a human being. And it doesn't make sense to say that Hashem would remove his, and you'll see later on, there's a bigger raya against this, even in Rashi himself, but you can't learn it literally. It can't mean that Hashem will actually turn away from other areas and focus. So what is the meaning of this statement? It can't be that, because Hashem doesn't have different attention spans, and he doesn't have attention at all. Because he's non-physical, we can't really project onto him that he thinks and he acts the way that we act. So what is the Torah trying to teach us, and what does Rashi mean when he quotes this this idea, I think, from the Medrash, when he quotes this? And then let's go on in Rashi. He says, Ki nefesh habasar, shakol beria b'dam hi tluya, l'fichach nesatev al mizbeach l'chaper al nefesh ha'adam, tavo nefesh v'techaper al nefesh. So Rashi says that the purpose of bringing the dam, really zrikas adam, is the essence of kapara. It's because man can identify with the nefesh of an animal, and we both have living forces. So therefore, the Torah chose the living force, the dam, which is the life force of the animal, as a method of kapara, because we identify with that, because we also have a nefesh. And it says, kol nefesh mikem lahazer gedolim al ketanim. Even the gedolim shouldn't have their children, you shouldn't have your children or a ketanim drink blood. So we're kind of trying to answer, we're kind of trying to give a basic idea of what this iser is later on in the shir. But the question that I want to focus the shir on is this idea of venasati panai. What kind of punishment is it where Hashem takes his attention away and focuses it on an individual? So that's the question. Okay, so the Gur Aryeh, look in source number 3, one of the Pirushim, Maral on the Rashi, he says something, he says as follows, look at Rashi, look at the Gur Aryeh in source number 3, he says, Panai Shali, lo stam panim, doesn't really mean the face. And whenever the Torah uses the word panim or panay, shari, it's usually a positive. Shari stam panim hi letova. Whenever the Torah says panay Hashem or panim, it's usually a good. Yisa Hashem panav lecha, by the Birkas Kohanim, says that Hashem will his panav will be towards you. Ella perusha panay shali lisasekba. So that's why Rashi learns out. He's trying to explain Rashi. So he says, why is Rashi learning it not as panim, like the face of Hashem, but rather panai, his time, his attention? Because whenever the Torah says panai, it's usually a positive. And over here, it's a negative, so it's something else. It's panai, it's his attention. So we'll see that the Gur Aryeh is actually not so consistent with Rashi. We'll see later on, and there's a big problem in a later Rashi. But basically, the idea of Rashi is clear, just the facts. Factually, literally, he's saying that it doesn't mean the face of Hashem. It means Hashem's attention. That Hashem will take his attention away from other areas and focus it on the individual who's violating this prohibition. So we see this also. We get a double. We get a double whammy here because we see this also in Kedoshim. If you go to Kedoshim in source number 4, it has a similar idea. It says Ve'el Bnei Yisrael Perchof. Sorry, Pasuk Beis Gimel Dalin Hey. It's another place where Hashem uses the same terminology in the pasuk. It says Ve'el Bnei Yisrael Tomar Ish Ish Me Bnei Yisrael Min Ager Hagar Bi Yisrael. So the Torah says that if a Jew worships Molech, if a Jew worships Molech, so the punishment is Misa, they get death, they're killed, and they should get Skila as well. Skila is really the method of punishing. So Molech was a certain type of Avodah Zarah, and there's a machlokes on whether or not they would walk through two pillars of fire, they would actually pass their child in between, or whether there's a sacrifice there. I think I gave Sharon this last year, but some Rishonim say that it was they would sacrifice their children to the God, they would burn up their children to the God, and others say that it was ritualistic, that they would walk through with the children two pillars of fire, but it was a certain type of Avodah Zarah. And the Torah says that the violation, or the punishment for this Avodah Zarah is death, is Misa. And then look in source number 4, Pasuk Gimel. Va'ani etain es panai ba'ishahu, v'yichrati oso mikar v'amo, ki mizaru nasan l'mol chaman, tamei es mikdashi l'chalel eshem kachi. So Hashem uses the same terminology. He says, I will place my attention on this individual, and I will excommunicate him. Why? Because he gave his children, his offspring, to Molech, and he's defiled my mikdash, which is Bnei Yisrael, the Rashi explains, and he's defiled my name. So, in look in source number Dalet, v'im halim yalimu, pasuk Dalet, v'im halim yalimu amar, it says, enehem ena isha hu besitomi zar l'molech v'iltiha misoso. So, if the people, they don't want to prosecute this individual, and they don't end up killing him, v'samti ani es panai ba'isha hu v'meshbachto, v'chratzi oso v'eiz kol zonim achra v'leznos achra yamolech mikarev amam. Again, in hey, he says, v'samti ani es panai ba'isha hu, that he's going to place his attention on this individual, and he's going to excommunicate this individual. So if the people don't take care of it, if the Jewish people don't take care of it, Hashem will take care of it himself. So again, we see in Kedoshim, just like Acharimos, there's another area in the Torah where the same terminology is used, Venasati Panai, that Hashem will focus his attention on the individual who worships Molech, and he'll destroy him. He'll destroy that individual. So Rashi, look in source number 5. Rashi says, he's very consistent. Rashi says in source number 5, El Bnei Yisrael Tomar, Onshin alazaros. So he says, tell the Jews when you're discussing the Isser of Molech, tell them about the punishment that goes along with it. Most you must be vastin v'im ein koch levastin amaret messianosan. So he should be killed in Bastin, and if Bastin can't do it on their own physically, then the rest of the people help out. And he says, Am Aretz, Am Shebegino Nivrasa Aretz. So it's an Am, because of them the world was created. That's why they're called Am Aretz. It means the Jews. Am The other explanation is that why does it call the Jews Am Aretz? Because eventually they're going to be Yoresh Eretz Yisrael through these mitzvos. Etenas Panai, look in Gimel, Panai Shali, Pone Animi Kolasakai Vosikbo. Exactly the same as the Rashi before in Achrimos. That when it means Hashem is going to persecute this individual, it means he's going to take his attention away from all other areas, and he's going to engage with this individual and destroy this individual. Okay, so the question is, what is this concept? Same question, what is this concept of Hashem drawing his attention away from his asaka, of his other dealings, and focusing on this person? And another question is, what's the connection between these two mitzvos, these two averos, I should say? Because you see that actually, the Rama mentions this, but this is the only two places in the Torah by a specific prohibition where this terminology is used, Vinasati Panai. You don't see this in other places. So why is it that these two Isurim are highlighted in our Parshios, in Acharimos and Kedoshim, as the onus for them is Vinasati Panai? What does it mean, Vinasati Panai, exactly? And why are these two mitzvos focused on in the Torah in terms of this onus? So those are the questions. Okay?
Yeah. Once it's
Hashem
will direct it,
say
it towards the individual, and one says it away from the individual,
right? Say it again, I'm sorry, say it again. Yeah. Did you say that one says that Hashem will direct it towards the individual, and the other one says that it will be away from the individual? No, they're exactly the same. Look in source number 2, Rashi, if you have the source sheet. He says, so I'm going to take my attention away from all my other endeavors and be involved with this individual in a bad way. It's a negative. And then in source number 5, it says, Etenes panai gimel pone animi kol asakai v'osikbo. Exactly the same. I'm going to take my attention away from all other areas, and I'm going to be osik, I'm going to be engaged with this individual. Right? So it sounds like God's going to really destroy this guy. It's not just a normal destruction, but he's going to take all of his energy and his attention and focus it on this individual. But we know that it doesn't work like that. I mean, Hashem doesn't work like that, because he doesn't take his attention away from other areas. He doesn't even have attention. So what is this idea of attention here? So that's the question. Okay, so there's one other place, source number 6, there's one other place where this is used, not in reference to a particular avera, but it's talking about a general, it's talking about the tochacha and b'chu kosai, where the Torah brings in the klalos that happen if the Jews reject the Torah, and the same terminology is used there as well. I think these are the only places where this terminology is used, in Acharimos, Kedoshim, and in Bechukosai over here, but it's not by a specific in Bechukosai, as you'll see. In source number 6, it's Perichav Vav, Vayikra Perichav Vav, Pasuk Tes Vav, Tazayin, Yedzayin. It says, V'im Bechukosai Tim Asu, V'im Es Mishpatai Tigal Nashechem, L'Volti Asus Es Kol Mitzvosai, L'Hafrechem Es Brisi. So let's say the Jews, they decide to, and if they decide to reject the Torah, and they reject the mishpatim, the laws, and they don't do any of the mitzvos, and they break the covenant, they break the bris with Hashem. So what happens? It says, Af ani eseh zos lachem, bevkati aleichem behalos, ha-shachefes ve-sakadachas, mechalos einayim umedivos nafesh uzratem larik zarechem ba'achalu oyveichem. So Hashem's going to bring a lot of bad stuff onto the Jews, including all these different diseases, and it's going to bring about a longing and a depression, and the Jews will try to plant for nothing, for no purpose, because the enemies will eat everything that they plant. V'nasati fanai b'chem v'nigavtem lifnei oyveichem v'radu b'chem sonichem v'nastem v'ein rodef eschem. And in Yud Zayin it says that I will place my attention on them, and He'll let them be destroyed by their enemies, and they'll be ruled by their enemies, and they'll be pursued, and nobody will pursue them. V'nastem ein rodef eschem. They'll feel pursued, but nobody will be pursuing them. So the tochacha here in Bechukosai mentions that if the Jews reject the Torah, and if they reject the laws of the Torah, so they'll be punished, and the punishment includes diseases, many different types of diseases. But in Yud Zayin, this is the key. It says, "V'nasati panai b'chem v'nigavtem lifnei oyveichem." So Hashem's going to punish them, and how is He going to punish them? By bringing all of His attention towards them. And Rashi, again, in source number 7, It's a good thing Rashi's consistent. He says, "V'nasati panai panai shali pone ani mikol asakai laharolachem." So I'm going to take my attention away from all my other endeavors in order to do bad to you, to destroy the person, to destroy the Jewish people. So again, same question as before. What's this idea of v'nasati panai? When the Torah uses that terminology, what's it referring to? What exactly can we gain from that? Furthermore, there's another Rashi on this pasuk, another explanation of v'nasati panai, which goes against the Maharal, the Gur Aryeh. Because the Gur Aryeh says that it's not referring to the panim, the idea of panim, because it's usually for good. And Rashi says, look at Rashi in source number 8, v'nasati panai bachem, k'moshe ne'amar betova ufanisi aleichem, just like it says by the good, that Hashem will turn his attention towards towards the person who deserves good. Kach ne'amar berav v'nasati panai. It's equivalent with regard to evil. Mishalo mashal. What's the mashal? Lemelch she'amar la'avada pona ani mikol asakai ve'osek ani imachem. Lera. So it means that just like Hashem turns his attention away or towards a person for the good, so too he's going to turn his attention towards the person for the bad. So what is this comparison in Rashi between the good and the bad? And what does it mean? Again, same question. What does it mean that Hashem's going to take his attention away? So it's a bizarre concept that needs to be explained, because it can't be literal. It just can't be. And finally, the last point to finally put the last nail in this. Look in source number 9. It says, Hashem Ishmael Chamad Hashem Shemo. Parshas Peshalach by Az Yashir. Famous, it's a famous pasuk. We say that Hashem appeared like a gibor, like a courageous warrior. And we say in the pasuk, Hashem Ishmael Chama Hashem Shemo, that Hashem is the man of war, and Hashem is his name. So Rashi over there, in source number 10, says, Hashem Shemo, Milchamosav lo bechli Zion, he doesn't fight with weapons, Ela bishmo hu nilcham, he uses his name, the name of Hashem, to fight. Kemosha Amar David, Vanochi ba'elecha b'shem ad Hashem tzvakos. David says the same thing. So that's one explanation. Hashem Shemo means that his battle, his weapon of choice, is his name. Dover Achir. What's the other? I don't want to explain that right now. That's for a different shir. Dover Achir, Hashem Shemo. But this is the key. Af b'shashu nilcham enokim oivav. At the time that he battles his enemies and he takes revenge, ochis hu b'midaso l'rachim al-bruav. So he's still merciful at the same time on those that he's created. V'lazun es kol baya olam, and he's still providing sustenance to the rest of the world. V'lo kemidas malchi adama, it's not like normal human kings. Kishu osek b'melchama pone atzmo mikol asakim. By normal king, when he's at war, he has to take his attention and focus it on the battle at hand. But Hashem is not like that. V'ein bo koach laso zuvizu. A king, a normal king, he can't do two things at once. He can't multitask to the same degree. So when he puts all of his attention to the battle, he's taking his attention away from other areas of his kingdom, of his kingship. But Hashem is unique in the sense that this is the opposite of what Rashi is saying. Hashem is unique that he can provide for the world at the same time and show mercy, and at the same time destroy and be an Ishmael Chama. So the idea of Hashem as the epitome of multitasking is really a perfection that a human king can't have. A human being cannot take attention away or provide attention to one area without reducing their attention to another area. But Hashem, it's not like that. Hashem has, I mean, obviously he doesn't have attention span, but the idea is that he can multitask, and he can do many things at once in the most perfect way, and there's no deficiency in one just because another area is being taken care of by Hashem, by the Hashgacha. So what exactly, so this is a problem. Because before, Rashi is saying that Hashem is taking his energy away from other areas and he's going to focus it on the individual who drinks blood or on the individual who worships Molech. Or if the Jews reject the Torah, it says, V'nasati panai bahem, that Hashem is going to draw his attention away from other areas and focus it on the Jews. But on the other hand, we see by Az Yashir that there's no idea like that, that Hashem is capable of doing many things at once and there's no deficiency in one versus the other. There's no idea of attention. So the question is, how do we explain this? How do we explain the Rashi on the one hand? It's almost a contradiction, because Rashi on the one hand is saying that when it comes to punishment, Hashem does take his energy away from other areas. But when it comes to Az Yashir and Hashem Ishmael Chama, we recognize the opposite, that Hashem doesn't have to do that, that he's capable of doing many things at once without compromising in any area. So what exactly is the idea of Rashi, v'nasati panai? And then furthermore, why is it related to these two areas? These are the only two areas in specific where the Torah uses the terms Vinasati Panai by the idea of Dam and by the idea of Molech. So those are the questions. So before we answer the main question that I focused here on the Panai, let's try to answer the Dam and the Molech question, and then I'll give a svara, I'll give an idea, a possibility, based on what I think Rashi is saying, and try to explain Rashi. So the Ramban says, we'll go to the Ramban. The Ramban quotes the Rambam, and he explains why it says Vinasati Panai by these two areas. He doesn't explain the idea of Vinasati Panai fully, but he explains why these two areas are chosen. So he says, V'arav kasa b'mor nahanavuchim. So the Rambam, the Ramban quoting the Rambam, says that the Rambam explains, Ki ayu akasdim mo'asim adam yachshavu lahem letoma. So the Kasdim, the non-Jews, the idolaters, they were disgusted by blood, and they thought that it was defiled, it was tame. Aval yochlu mimenu harotzim leschaver leshedim ulihinave mehem asidos. But they believed that if you were to drink blood, it would connect you with the spirits and also give you the ability to forecast the future. V'atorah techavin l'olam l'haros b'neini z'chichlusam b'hafoch machshavoseim. So the Torah is always trying to destroy the opposite of their mindset. Ulechach asra hadam b'achila. That's why the Torah asers dam. Uvachra bo li'tayr b'hazos ulezarko al mizbeach l'chapara. And that's why the Torah chooses blood as the method of kapara. Ulechach amar v'nasati panai b'nefesh ha'ocheles esadam. That's why it says that Hashem is going to place his attention on the person who eats dam. Kemosh amar benosin mizar lemolech. Just like by molech, shehu mevi lemin memine avodah zarah. So it brings a person to many different types of avodah zarah. Ki lo ne'amar kein b'mitzvah acheres. It doesn't say this by mitzvah, any other mitzvos. So what is the Ramban saying in the name of the Rambam? So I think, I went through the Rambam himself also, but I think what the Ramban is saying and the Rambam is saying, and quoting the Rambam, is that in these two areas, by Dam and by Molech, it sounds like there are ideas of gateway, they're gateways to Avodah Zarah. So the idea of Dam is not Avodah Zarah in itself, but really a person drinks blood because they think that it's going to connect them to a life force, to the force of the world of the spirits. And that's what they believed in the past. And so too, by Molech, the idea of Molech is the concept of, it's a universal Avodah Zarah, it's an Avodah Zarah that leads a person to other Avodah Zarahs. So whenever there's a prohibition in the Torah related to a gateway to further Avodah Zarah, the Torah wants to cut it down in its earliest stages. So the Torah highlights V'nasati Panai Ba'ishahu, the Torah highlights the Onesh by these areas because they're particularly dangerous because they lead a person to further distortions, to further Avodah Zarah. They have like gateway drugs. So they say that certain drugs are gateway drugs to other drugs, to worse drugs. So they're a gateway of Eros, and Dam and Molech are gateway of Eros to worse elements, to other ideas that take a person even further away where they become too far from coming back to the Torah. It becomes much harder, much more difficult. So the gateway of Eros are Dam and Molech. So the idea is that the Torah wanted to highlight how awful these averos are, how they're really dangerous for man. And in doing so, they added this idea of Nasati Panai. The Torah added this idea that Hashem's going to turn all of his attention away to this individual. But you can't just learn that it's just a deterrent. So one way you can learn is that the Torah, it's not real, it's just a deterrent. That the Torah recognizes that these two areas are particularly heinous because they lead to further distortion, to further Avodah Zarah. Unlike other areas, these are worse, they're gateways. However, one way you can learn it is that it's just a deterrent. V'nasati panai isn't a particular idea, just trying to scare a person, trying to show them, don't do this because it's worse. But I don't think Rashi is saying that. I think Rashi is saying that there's a particular idea to v'nasati panai. So what is that idea? What is that concept? Especially since we saw that on the one hand there's a contradiction from Oz Yashir. So how do we resolve the contradiction and try to explain this idea, this concept? So anybody want to try a possibility? If anybody does... So what is the concept? All right, so I'm going to try a possibility, a svar that I had, which is that really the idea is not in the framework of God. I don't think you can explain it in the framework of God, but you have to say that the idea that Torah is referencing is an idea in man, how man perceives the punishment. So the concept that Torah is saying is that when a person, and this is what I think Rashi is alluding to as well with the good, the comparison to the good. When a person has a reward, he feels like a person feels special. It almost a natural emotion that a person has is they want to feel special and that they were chosen and God gave them this reward, and they feel good about the fact that almost like they are being rewarded in particular, and God, it feels good. There's an emotion of feeling special. And the opposite is true by being punished in general. So in general, a person doesn't want to feel like they're being punished specifically or targeted by a certain individual or by God. And a lot of times you can say, oh, it's not just, maybe it's just an accident, or it's not just meant for me, or you could say that it's just natural. But the idea seems to be that when there's hashgacha in these particular mitzvos by a person who violates these particular mitzvos, sounds like the person who receives this punishment is going to perceive it as if they're being targeted, as if God had taken his attention away from other areas and targeted that person. So the reality is that it's not that Hashem is taking his attention away. We don't believe in that idea, because you see from Az Yashir that it's an impossibility. We believe that Hashem is perfect and there's no deficiencies in his attention, in his attention span. Or we don't say that he draws attention from one area to the other. It's an idea in the mind of the person who's being punished, that sometimes punishment can occur and you could attribute it to natural causes, or you can diminish the effect of the punishment. But in these areas, the hashgacha is such that a person can only perceive it as being targeted by God. And they'll feel like that. You'll feel like you're being targeted. And sometimes, we all have felt that way at times in our lives. When you're in class, if the teacher picks on you, you feel like it's unfair. You almost feel like you're being targeted by the teacher. Just a classic example. I'm not alluding to any personal examples, but a classic example is when you're in school and you're a student and you feel like you're being picked on. So the same thing over here. It doesn't mean that Hashem's going to draw his attention away from other areas, but it means that the nature of this hashgacha is such that a person who experiences this punishment will feel targeted. They'll feel as if they're being picked on, and as if there's a strategy to destroy them. And that's the idea over here. That's what the concept is teaching us, that there's a specific category of hashgacha. Because the Torah defines hashgacha in different categories. Hashgacha is a system. It's a system. Just like there's a system of law, there's a system of hashgacha. And one category of hashgacha is Pnei Hashem, and Asati Panai Ba'ishahu, which is the idea that when a person experiences it, they feel like they've been targeted. They feel like it's been designed for them. And I think that's what Rashi is trying to teach us in this week's Parsha, in Acharei Mos and Kedoshim, that in both these areas, because of the heinousness of these crimes, of these averos, the specific hashgacha to destroy them will feel as if they're being targeted, will feel as if they can't, the person who's being targeted or experiencing it won't be able to attribute it to other possibilities, to natural possibilities, but they'll think of it as if they're being targeted. So I think that's what Rashi's alluding to. But he's teaching us that there's a category of hashgacha like that, and that's why, even by the klalos, by the tochacha, when the Jews reject the Torah as a whole, the category of hashgacha that will be applied to them is the same category. It's v'nasati panai bahem. If you go back to source number 6, pasuk yud zayin, it says v'nasati panai bahem. So what is that? That is that concept, that a person, when they experience the onesh, will feel as if God took his attention away from other areas and focused it all on them. That's how it'll feel in experiencing the hashgacha, the onesh. So I think that's what Rashi's saying. But there's the opposite approach in source number 12. And so if you look at the Ksav Vakabal, he takes the opposite approach of Rashi. It's interesting to see these different perspectives. So one perspective is Rashi saying Pnei Hashem or V'nasati Panai is that concept, that it's a category of divine intervention where the person experiences it, who experiences it, feels as if he's been targeted, as if God's taking his attention away. But it doesn't exist in reality. In reality, Hashem can do everything in the most perfect way. But the Ksav HaKabbalah is the opposite. In source number 12, he says V'nasati Panai B'nefesh Tirgum Unkelus V'atein Rugzi. So first he quotes Unkelus. Unkelus says, I will place my anger. And then he says, V'yonasan ben Uziel Tirgim V'atein Yas Penuyasa Lemeyasok B'var Nashahu. I will place my attention, similar to Rashi, and to engage with this person. V'hu l'masha amru b'toras kohanim v'nasati panai pone ani mikol asakai v'esok bo. He quotes the same Toras kohanim that Rashi quotes, that God will take his attention away and will attend to this individual. Ki ena das misyasheves lomar shem minasinas pnei Hashem yom shech hara rakatov behechlet. So it doesn't make sense to say that when it says the word pnei Hashem, it means evil. It's usually good. That's the Maharal's point. Lachin pirshu lashon pnuye. That's why it means attention. V'amra mafarshim milas v'nasati milashon aziva. So this is where it gets interesting. He says the word v'nasati, I will give, is also, or the same lashon is used by aziva, the concept of abandoning, to leave somebody. Kemo v'lo nasan sichon avor. That Sichon did not allow them to pass through, meaning he did not abandon the border. So it sounds like Nasan is tied to the idea of abandoning. The Yirtze e'ezov pniyasi shehitamid letova lasokba. What he means to say, I think, is that Hashem is saying, when he says v'nasati panai, that I'm going to be ezov, I'm going to leave my attention, which is always on the person for the good. Ukvar herosi lamala, he goes on, he explains above, he says, Alasho nesina lahoros haziva. Nesina means aziva, to abandon, to leave. V'yetam b'nasati panai, what is this reasoning? Ezov p'nei hashgachasi ba'ish halazeh. I'm just going to abandon this person. My hashgacha will no longer be attached to this person. I can't read the Yiddish. And he says, uvahasaras hashgachasi me'ish, hine me'usad le'mikriyim. By Hashem removing his hashgacha, man will now be subject to the natural world without any protection. Ka'amram, as it says, Tastir panechla yibalun mikan she'en HaKadosh Baruch Hu oser ro'a l'shem adam elek she'en mashgiach bo hu kalam elav. So there's an idea that when Hashem removes his hashgacha, that's when man gets destroyed on his own. Because Hashem now is no longer protecting the individual, and the individual is subject to nature, so he'll naturally be destroyed. So the Ksav HaKabbalah is saying the opposite of what Rashi's saying. Rashi's saying that a person will feel like they're being targeted, and it's a specific category of hashgacha. The Ksav HaKabbalah is saying that it's the removal of hashgacha. That really, what's going to happen? So the normal hashgacha that Hashem provides to the individual to protect them, to help them in their way, that'll be removed. And now the individual will be subject to natural law. And when man is subject to natural law, so a lot of bad things could happen. You know, he could get struck by lightning. He can get into an accident. He can fall. All these things could happen that are just natural, without any protection from God, from Hashem. So the Ksav HaKabbalah is the opposite of what we were saying before. That really, v'nasati panai is not a specific category of hashgacha, that a man will feel a certain way when they experience it, but rather he maintains that it's the removal of hashgacha, it's the removal of God, of Hashem, of his protection of this individual. And that is the onesh for the person who drinks blood and the person who gives his offspring to Molech, that he no longer deserves hashgacha, and now he's only subject to the natural world. And when a person's subject to the natural world, a lot of disease could happen, a lot of bad things could happen, and he's no longer protected by Hashem. There's no more hashgacha. It's the removal of hashgacha. So is it a category of hashgacha, the onesh, or is it the removal of hashgacha? And that's the machlokas. So there's one other possibility I had, and it's not brought down by any Rishonim, so I'm just giving that disclaimer before we start. But I had another possibility for what this idea is, v'nasati panai. So if you look in, there's one other area with there's other areas where it says p'nei Hashem, but the most, in my mind, the most prominent is by Kisisa. So it's in source number 13, when Moshe wants to see the face of Hashem, that's how the Torah describes it. So Hashem says that man cannot see my face and live. So if you look in source number 13, Shmos Perek Lamed Gimel, it says, Vayomar Harei Nos Kvodecha. So Moshe says that he wants to see Hashem's glory. Vayomar Ani Avir Kol Tuvi Apanecha, V'Karasi B'Shem Ad Hashem Mufanecha, V'Chanosi Es Asher Achon, V'Richamti Es Asher Arachem. So he devises this plan that he's going to see God's face, and he's going to call out in the name of Hashem. V'Chanosi Es Asher Achon, I will find favor in that which I find favor, and I will provide mercy with that whom I want to provide mercy to. Vayomar Vayomar losuchali rosas panai, ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. So Hashem says to Moshe, you can't see my face, because man can't see my face and live. Vayomar Hashem yinei makom iti v'nitzavta al atzor, v'ayah ba'avor kvodi v'samticha b'nekras atzor v'sakosicha pi alecha ad avri. So the idea is that Hashem devises a plan where Moshe can gain or be able to see the most that man could see, which is the back of Hashem, but not the front, not the face. So this is all not literal, I don't think. If you learn the psukim, I don't think it's literal. What it means is that Moshe was trying to perceive, the Rambam says, based on the Rambam, but many Rishonim, they say that Moshe was trying to perceive a certain idea of Hashem, have the highest level of knowledge, and Hashem was saying that man is just limited. He's unable to perceive that level of knowledge of Hashem, and therefore, instead, he gave him the highest level that man could perceive. But he still couldn't know God, have positive knowledge of God, know God. You know, the Rambam explains it in the Yada Chazaka, what he was looking for. But the main thing over here, the main idea, the main point I bring this in for is because of the Pasuk Chaf. It says, Vayomer lo sucha l'roses panai ki lo yirani ha'adam b'chai. So Hashem says that man can't see my face, because if man sees my face, he'll die. So you see that if you learn panai by our psukim, and acharei mos and kedoshim, not like Rashi, and not like the Ksav HaKabbalah, but if you learn it literally, that it means panai, so it's a similar type of lashon over here in Shemos, Perek Lamed Gimel. So what is the problem? Why can't man see God's face and live? So the Rabbeinu Bachya in source number 14 says, Ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai, aderech ha'pshat, what's the pshat? She'yichya, man can't literally live. V'zeo she'hiskir b'inyan Manoach. Mos namus ki elokim ra'inu, by Manoach, the father of Shimshon, when he saw the Malach, he was scared that he was going to be killed, he was going to die, because he thought that he couldn't see the Malach and stay alive. V'chi b'riyas ha'malach yomar ha'katsav kain, so if the Torah and man thought, this man Manoach thought by the Malach he couldn't live, so certainly even more so by Hashem, where you can't understand or you can't see Hashem, so to speak, understand and perceive him, unless your soul is separated from your body. But after your soul has departed from your body, then you can perceive certain ideas. There's certain ideas that you can't see when you're alive, but when you die, you can see them. So there's different examples of this idea, but Rabbeinu Bachya says that the idea of ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai is that when man is tied or tethered to the physical world, he's unable to perceive the full extent of the non-physical, and he's prevented. It's a barrier to understanding certain non-physical concepts. And obviously the most elusive concept is the concept of God. He's non-physical to the fullest extent. And man is limited in our understanding of that because of the fact that we're tethered to our bodies, to the physical world. And once we die, once our soul is removed from the physical, so then we can perceive ideas that we have never perceived when we were alive. So the idea that Rabbeinu Bachya is saying, the pshat is that man is unable, while he's still tethered to the physical world, he's unable to perceive certain ideas about Hashem. He's just limited. He's limited in his perception. So I was thinking about this concept, and I was thinking that maybe this idea can be tied to the Vinasati Panai in our psukim. Just a different shot, different idea. So maybe the idea is Vinasati Panai is that by the dam, the person who drinks blood, or the molech. So the person who drinks blood, like the Ramban, quoting the Rambam, says, is trying to he's trying to attach himself to the Shadim, to the non-physical world, to the world of the spirits. And also by molech, if you learn, is an idea of sacrificing the self. There's an idea that man is trying to exceed his limitations. When you sacrifice yourself to the God, you're trying to show a tremendous amount of mesira, almost beyond the human normal level of mesira, where you see that by Avram, that he was willing to give up of his son. So that's a level that a person's trying to achieve by demonstrating a superhuman quality or superhuman ability, by self-sacrifice, by sacrificing your children. So these areas, the underlying desire is to understand more than man's capable of understanding, or to be attached to something that man's not capable of being attached to, by virtue of the fact that we're tethered to this world, to the physical world. So maybe the idea of Vinasati Panai is trying to highlight that when man tries to exceed his limitations, it's dangerous for man. And that's what it means. Vinasati Panai, or Ki Lo Yirani Ha'adam V'chai, means that man, it's dangerous for man. Man can't really perceive these ideas, And whatever he's going to perceive or try to perceive will be bad for him, will be dangerous for him, and it won't benefit him. It'll be detrimental for him. He'll be destroyed. So the idea is over here, maybe the Torah is teaching us or trying to teach us that the underlying drive for a person to drink blood and feel like he's gonna be connected to the spirits or the spiritual world, or the idea of the Molech, is really the person, the individual, who wants to exceed, you know, the human bounds, the human limitations, the limitations of the physical. And the Torah is saying, "Venasati panai ba'ishahu," meaning that there's a negative to that. That when you try to attempt that, when you try to attempt to go beyond the boundaries of the physical, to perceive something that you're not capable of perceiving, it's dangerous and you'll be destroyed by it. And that's what the Torah is teaching us in Acharei Mos Kedoshim, Venasati panai, and even in Bechukosai. Venasati panai means it doesn't work as well in Bechukosai, but over here, Venasati panai means that, or is trying to allude to that concept, that man, or the underlying driving force in these Averos, is that desire to go beyond the limitations of the physical world, and ultimately it'll cause your own demise, because you're incapable. You have to recognize your limitations. So I think that's another possibility, not brought down by any of the Rishonim, but something that I was thinking about the other day. Okay, so that's the end of the shiur. So let me just summarize the different points. So the first point was Rashi. Rashi says, "V'nasati panai" means panai shali, my attention. I'll draw my attention away. Hashem will draw his attention away and focus it on this individual who committed the averos of dam, of drinking blood, or en molech. And then it's also quoted in Bechukosai, "V'nasati panai bachem," that I'll place my attention on them. And Rashi over there says similar. So our question was, what do you mean? Hashem doesn't have to take his attention away from one place and put it in another place. He's a multitasker. We see from Oz Yashir that there's no deficiency in God's ability to do many things at once. So what exactly is the purpose of Venasati Panai? And also, what's the connection between these two Averos in specific, in Acharei Mos Kedoshim? So we said, according to the Rambam, that these Averos are particularly heinous because they're gateways to further Avodah Zarah. And the Torah wanted to target these individuals because of the danger, because the nature of these averos are particularly dangerous because they lead to many other avodah zarahs. But what is the idea? The idea is that there's a hashgacha, a certain type of hashgacha, that when man experiences it, he feels targeted. He feels as if God had taken his attention away and only targeted him. So that is a certain category of hashgacha that the Torah is alluding to in these psukim. The other possibility is the opposite. The Ksav HaKabbalah, he holds that Venasati Panai means to remove. Aziva means to remove Hashgacha. And the onesh for the individual who drinks blood or who gives his offspring to Molech is that Hashgacha will be removed from them. Hashem will no longer protect you, and now you'll just be subject to the natural world, and that will ultimately cause man's demise. And finally, there's one last idea that I wanted to try out. It's the idea, the concept that man can't fully understand God, and he can't, Moshe tried to see or know God to the highest level, and Hashem says, man cannot see my face. So the idea of Panai is an idea of limitations of man in terms of perceiving God and understanding God. So maybe the Torah is teaching us that in these two areas, the driving force, the underlying force of man is to go beyond his limitations, to try to understand or be connected to the philosophical world in a way where man isn't capable of. Man has to recognize that because we're tied to the physical, we're just limited, and we can't go beyond certain barriers. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, the highest individual, he couldn't see God's face. He couldn't know God to the level that he wanted to. So we too have to recognize our limitations, that you try to be spiritual, but you also have to recognize that the physical world prevents us from seeing the ultimate, you know, these ultimate ideas, these non-physical ideas. So perhaps that's what the Torah is alluding to by using the phraseology of Venasati Panai. So that's the last idea. All right, so everybody have a good Shabbos. Thank you. Thanks for calling in. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. All right.